Good morning, church family. Oh, I think everyone's a bit cold. Good morning, church family. Did we have a good week or a not so good week? Terrible. Did I hear terrible? That's what we're here for. Kind of, but we should be here because of what happens each day. Yes. Well, welcome everyone. I see some new faces here. Welcome to our visitors. It would be good to kind of interact. Too bad we don't have lunch today, because it would have been great for us to be able to interact together. But that means that you need to come next week and enjoy the Easter program that's going to be held here. So welcome to our visitors and welcome to our Wantirna Church family. And just my apologies, I was actually mentioning my other church. But remember, everyone's together, yes? Remember that. Well, let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the gift of your Sabbath. We thank you for the songs of worship that we've been able to sing and engage in that helps turn our hearts and our minds to focus on you. And whatever it is that we have come here with today, we ask and pray that we will lay it at the foot of your cross. And we ask and pray for your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and our minds today as we engage you in our own personal walk together as a corporate family. Continue to guide and lead us. We thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let our church family say, amen. For the last year and a bit now, is that right, Dan? He doesn't know what I'm actually referring to. But for a year and a bit, last year, our church were engaged in providing ideas about how it is that our church can move forward. So it took a lot of planning. Different people came to our envisioning session that we held in the hall. Lots of ideas were generated. And so part of this sermon series that I'm going to talk about today is entitled Small Groups. And the reason why our pastoral team is going to head in this direction is because this is what the church is envisioning for us to grow relationally, not only with our God, but also with each other. And even more importantly, with our community. And it's going to be a journey that may be a reminder to many of us. It can also be confronting because there's some things that need to be highlighted in our conversation today when it comes to small groups. And so another way that we can call it, which is what we already have operating here in some type of capacity, is life groups. So why are we going to speak about life groups? Because in a world now, after COVID, things have dramatically changed. Can I hear an amen? Church has changed. Connections between each other has changed. Buildings that used to be full when it came to worship, people are missing. And so the reality is if we don't deal with this, then we're not going to be dealing with the heart of some of the issues that we have in our church. And so here is the space that we need to talk about small groups, about life groups, because something seems to be missing in the mix when it comes to speaking about life groups. It's not just something that ends up happening for the sake of trying to make you busy again, because we're already busy as it is. But COVID should have drawn our attention to what it is that we need to do better And if we're not willing to address it, then the problems will continue to arise. And so our pastoral team is going to journey through this small group series. I'm calling it Life Group, and I'm going to give it another heading at the end of this sermon for you to be able to have a response every time we speak on this particular series. So we're going to take ourselves to the Acts of the Apostles, a book found in the New Testament. But before we get to the Acts of the Apostles, and before we start with chapter 1, before we even get to that first chapter, what you find is a group of people who are being led by this person named Jesus, a small group. And this group of people have been exposed to healing, have been exposed to seeing sick people come, have been exposed to the lame now walking, has been exposed to so many miracles. This small group has interacted with a lot of what has now happened within their society and their community. That's the exposure of what is happening when we come to the book of Acts. And so why is this important? If we're looking at some of the disconnects that are happening within our church, not only here at One Turner, but many of our churches, we need to go back to Scripture in order to be able to guide us and to give us guidance as to what it is that we need to do to be able to reinvigorate what it is that we need to be looking at when it comes to sharing the good news. And so the book is called the Acts of the Apostles, but in actual fact, it should be renamed. It should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you don't see any sort of movement or any progress in the book of Acts. That, if you've missed it, is the most crucial and key component when it comes to small groups. Don't miss it. So here in Matthew 28, many are familiar with it, some may not, but that's okay. And it says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make,'" what? "Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, let's pause, because before this particular text comes up and we start reading from Matthew 28, verse 18, before that, this very group that Jesus has been interacting with, has been mentoring, there are some in the group that are doubting. There are some in this group that are doubting, but even though there are doubters in the group, Jesus says to them, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Because it's not about getting it right, it's about the journey in order to be able to trust the one who is sending them to go. Sometimes there's a formula that we try and kind of make in order for people to have these things set in place. But look at who it is that Jesus is calling to go make disciples. There are people in that group that are doubting. But yet Jesus says, go. Now come to Acts. And this is what you're going to be presented with as we continue. Now, what has happened so far in the Gospels? Jesus has healed the sick, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy have been cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Jesus is fulfilling the scriptures that testify to who? To him. And then what happens? Jesus calls the disciples. Has been doing life with them, mentoring them, teaching them, growing with them, challenging them, shifting them, moving them, testifying to them. Discipling the disciples is pretty much what small groups is about. It's not small groups for the sake of being a small group. It's a small group with the intentionality of doing life with people because you've got someone who wants to do life and bring change into communities, into families, into churches. It's small groups with intentionality. And so then we come to Acts. Jesus is now ascending to where? To heaven. And the disciples are told to wait for the Holy Spirit, a gift from the Father. Key component to small groups. They are then to go to Jerusalem, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Catch this. The small group that finishes off in the Gospels is now the small group that is now going to be even smaller. Does that make sense? Because it's not about staying together as a small group, because as the small group is impacted, and you will see, each one then goes off and creates another small group. You don't stay. You don't stay comfortable, because this good news is too good to keep to yourself, to keep to the small group. The world needs to hear about it. The world needs to interact with it. Society is craving for what it is the small group is actually holding. And so in order for the small group to go, they need to leave. They need to leave. It's like training your best leaders and you send them out. They don't stay. You train them in order for them to go. The word disciple, you can see the Greek up there. In a small group, you are discipled by the disciple maker, because then in turn, you go and become a what? A disciple. Okay, let me say that again. To be a disciple, you are discipled by the disciple maker in order to go and make disciples. It continues and continues, because it's not about staying comfortable. It's about sharing something so amazing that it can't be held here in one single location. A disciple goes in order to interact, share the good news, because they're going to disciple more other people who are going to go. So when it comes to small groups, this is Jesus' model of disciple making. Intentional small group. life group. It's about creating relational streams of all ethne. Now in Acts, another component of the small group, have a read of this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were in one heart and mind. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. The question is, if this was so evident in many of our churches today, reality check. There are some things that these texts, Bible texts, are actually revealing to us about what is actually missing. And we have to be real, because in order for us to be able to see the Holy Spirit move, we have to confront ourselves. We have to confront the way in which we do things. And the most important part that comes up, which is right there in the first sentence, is they prayed. You cannot move anywhere without prayer. Prayer is what is needed to be able to unlock so many things that God wants to unlock for not only your life, but for the life of your family, your church, your community. Prayer is crucial. And if prayer is not engaged, then you're missing a key component to small groups. Small groups is not about debating who's right or wrong. You have a place to be able to do that. But the point of small groups is to uplift Christ, because it's about him, not you and me. If you make it about you, people are only going to see you. If you make it about what you think your opinion should be, it's going to be about you and your opinion. Small groups is the opportunity for us to share something amazing and to do life with people. Do life with people that are difficult. Do life with people that are, however that looks, it's doing life with people. And this is what it looks like, because then when small groups come together, they are of one what? One heart and one mind. That's powerful. Church, that is powerful. And if I was to rest and pause on something, that would be it. Because prayer and the Holy Spirit, not you and I, is the one that brings us to a capacity to be one in heart and mind. It's not your small group, it's not my small group, it's his small group. So here's what's cool and interesting, is that as the Holy Spirit and the disciples are sent out, you come across the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. So many stories, but I'm just choosing, I'm selective today. So the Ethiopian eunuch, found in Acts 8. And so I've taken this excerpt from Following the Spirit by Peter Rohenfelt, it's his book. And it's talking about an aspect of looking at the Ethiopian eunuch and gender diversity in fellowship, which is really cool. Acts 8:27. This man, the eunuch, has gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, when it comes to going to worship at the temple, foreigners were barred from going beyond the court of the Gentiles in the temple. Now, there are threats that would be made or notices that were actually in the temple to make sure that no foreigners would go beyond where they were meant to go, or else death could actually happen. And the Old Testament law says, no one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting, in other words, no eunuch, may enter the assembly of the Lord, found in Deuteronomy. So imagine from the eunuch's perspective, not a Jew, but a eunuch Ethiopian, imagine the rejection experienced by this sexually different foreigner. He was the ultimate outsider, in cases perhaps not even capable of circumcision, should he desire it, and inadmissible to the temple, not allowed to go past where he can go. Now, even though those barriers are created, the question is, how far was the Ethiopian eunuch able to go? He was undoubtedly inspired by the temple's magnificent, massive temple, beautiful in the way it looked, embellished by Herod the Great, a wonder of the Roman world, polished marble and gold. It glistened as snow on Jerusalem's Mount Moriah, but he was stopped, blocked from going further, preventing from entering because he was a foreigner, different and marginalized. Now, returning home on the road, on the desert road to Gaza, he was reading, the eunuch, capture this, the eunuch was reading of another who was also rejected, excluded, and ostracized. And while wondering who this might be, a man comes running, asking, do you understand what you are reading? And in that lonely desert place, who does he find? Don't miss that, church. Don't miss that. Because even though there wasn't a small group there, the Holy Spirit was working. And so when you know from this example that you have family members who seem like they're not in church or have wandered away from God or whatever that may be, don't lose hope. Because God is working. And God never gives up. If you give up, that's you. But keep praying. Because God is at work. Never, never lose hope. Perhaps Philip and the Ethiopian together read the Lord's promises for foreigners and eunuchs. These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer, a house of prayer for all nations. It would still be a long and difficult road for this eunuch, but guess what happened at the end? He went away rejoicing. Shunned in Jerusalem, the place of big GC conference, if you want to call it, Victorian conference, shunned in Jerusalem, and because of his isolation, not included in the local gathering of disciples, imagine how he felt. A spirit-filled Jew had run after him to tell him of Jesus and salvation, baptizing him in Jesus' name. He continues his journey in fellowship with God. the Holy Spirit was creating another small group. Oh, how about Saul? Acts 9, introduced to him. While not mentioned in Scripture, it is possible that Saul had seen Jesus, we're not fully aware of that, just says he heard. If a young man, when Stephen was martyred, he might have been in his late teens when Jesus was crucified, but he quickly developed a reputation as what? As a notorious opponent, murderous opponent to all the followers of Jesus. So Saul, the most unlikely candidate to become an apostle, the one who's creating chaos amongst chaos amongst chaos amongst chaos, is the one that Jesus sees potential in despite what everyone else is seeing. He had his eyes on him. He called him. He would find it worth dying. This is Saul. And the most unlikely person of peace. So what are one of the points that we can take away from this? Personal interactions play a crucial role in the process of small groups. Whether it's your connection with people or your connection with God, it's crucial. Church small groups, life groups in Acts is defined by the gospel preached through the work of the Holy Spirit, through prayer. And so when COVID hit, guess where church went? Sorry, where did church go? It went home. To the very place where it started. All New Testament churches met in homes. Even before being barred from the Jerusalem temple courts and expelled from synagogues, they regularly met in homes to share the Lord's meal, pray, fellowship, and worship. Homes were natural places for their meetings. The first European church were planted in the household of, guess what? A traitor and a jailer. Oh, as soon as you hear jailer, it's like, wipe them out, credentials, that cancels them. So I'll bring this all so that way you can see where it is we're landing the plane. But this lady that you can see, just cut off the, this lady's name is Kathy. And last Sabbath was youth day. It was like a service type of day. And Adra, as part of their service, had a memorial to this lady because she passed away. Now she's a volunteer. She was a volunteer at the Carrum Downs, Adra, Samoan, would always come there pretty much nearly every day. And many of you who are part of the food pantry here, if you did drive out to Carrum Downs to pick up your food, then Kathy was most likely part of the whole team that actually sorted fruit and veg, got all of that stuff sorted. And she ended up passing away. Now, this is a celebration that the ladies put together for Kathy. It was her 80th. And then about a week, 2 weeks later, she ended up passing away. This lady was Muslim. Why do I share that? It's because small groups have a powerful impact within the community. This lady came, and the way that she pretty much engaged in the activities with her Muslim faith showed characteristics of a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. They didn't evangelize, she didn't evangelize, but they interacted and did life together. She would tell them off, and they would listen because islanders, they respect their elders, so she knew that she had an advantage point on them. But that's what doing life looks like. It's not complicated. It doesn't have to be. But it can be a beautiful experience, and now this particular community is mourning her loss. And when they had the memorial, what I loved about it, they had it at the Carrum Downs Samoan Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I have never seen so many Muslims in one Adventist building. Family sitting on one side, family sitting in the middle, children and grandchildren sitting on the other side. Powerful to be able to witness and see that. And all because of an opportunity to connect and do small group and do life together. And so as we've unpacked what a disciple looks like when it comes to small groups, my question to you as a reflection point is this. How did you first become a disciple, or how did you come in contact with Christ? When was that moment? When did that happen? How did it happen? What were you doing? What was going on in your life that made you realize that you needed something? Because the next question, if you answer it honestly, is this. Have you sustained it and maintained it? Therefore, have you stopped being a disciple? Because to answer the small group question is to answer this. And it's up to you to answer that honestly. Because for some of us, we've got no time. For some of us, we're too busy. For some of us, fill in the blanks. And so if that's the case, I'm asking you to go back to your first love. I'm asking you to reminisce about when it is that Jesus impacted your life and something changed. Because when you go back to that point and you can see how it is that God has led, how it is that he has impacted you, your very experience is going to be key to being able to share why Christ is so good. Because this is now a hard experience. It's not a theological debate. It's not about theories or anything like that. It's asking you the practical application. And if it's something that you've wavered away from, then come back or talk to him or ask him or speak to him. Because being a disciple is an ongoing, intimate, daily connection of growing intentionally
with the disciple maker. And so, asking that question, this is one way. If you're thinking about joining a small group or thinking about creating a small group, now remember, you've got to pray about it. Then this is one way of being able to implement that. Now, who likes to go and eat? Okay, I'm the only one because everybody's good at fasting. All right. Yes, I love going. Who loves to go get a cuppa, a coffee? Yes? So if you can do all of that, then you can do this. So this is Dave Ferguson. This is something that he came up with, and many of our different churches who attended an exponential church planting training session over in the States and also here as a regional were given this particular tool, I would say, as you can add as part of your toolkit. And so BLESS is the acronym. Okay, church, let's say BLESS together. BLESS. All right, so you begin with prayer. So repeat after me. You begin with prayer. That's the B. Then the L is listen. Okay, listen. Listen here, guys. Listen. This is something that we don't do very well. So when it says listen, don't try and find a solution. Don't try and do whatever. Just listen. Because if you just allow yourself to listen to the person, you might actually hear their story. And when you hear their story, whoa, it's an amazing story because that's something that they themselves have. So B is begin with prayer. L is listen. E is eat or go have coffee. But just add that, eat and coffee. So if you can do that, that's the third one. That's what E stands for. And then S is serve. What can serve look like? What can that look like? Well, you might hear their story and you might hear something that's going on in their life or their family. For example, I've come across people that I've spoken to and they will share that they're really struggling because the food prices are getting higher and higher, and I praise God. Why? Because our church has a food pantry. Can you see how this can connect? Because it's not that you're not well-resourced. You've got a church that is already doing things, and you can tap into it with the people that you connect with. And the last one, the last S, is share. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. It may not be Jesus' name, but it's the things that Jesus has done in your life that you have the capacity and the experience to now share with other people. Man, God is good. All the time, God is good. And I think the reason why we're a bit quiet is because we've gone into reflective mode here. Which is great, because now ideas are being created. You're now seeing, Montana has a food pantry. Okay, if there's anyone in my community group that is needing help, I've got a church that is already in the position to be able to help. And so every day is an intentional practice of doing life with Jesus, which also means it's an intentional doing life with other people because of how Jesus has impacted you. And so who can you invite to come along on your journey, or who can you join? There's people in this room that I know have amazing gifts. I know over here we have a gardener. Amazing. She was telling about the tomatoes. I have to go visit her and be able to pick some tomatoes. You can share that gift What are some other things? We have someone who's creative, who loves drawing, has a beautiful gift, and has created artwork that can be shared. What are some other things, church? Small groups is not complicated, and here's why. Because the connections that you can make is based on what God is doing in your life. But here's another thing. God has gifted you. God has gifted you with something that you can offer to the world through your giftedness. Our praise and worship team, whoo, amazing. They can share the gift of music and talent to be able to share love, share Jesus to people within their community. What are some other things? There's so many things, but don't complicate it. It's not meant to be complicated. Keep it simple and find out what it is that God has gifted you with. Find out what it is that God is doing in your life, because those are the things that you can easily share. So here's the thing. I said it was small groups and life groups. And so, church, you need to think about Acts 29. Why Acts 29? Because there is no Acts 29. Acts 29 is you writing that chapter about what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And so here's the exciting thing is, I don't know what your Acts 29 is going to be, but guess what? With all of us empowered by the Holy Spirit, gifted by God, and being able to experience Him on a daily basis, Acts 29 is going to blow out of proportion. Amen? Exponentially, multiplying in so many different ways. Watch the Holy Spirit move. Watch this space. Click and subscribe. Don't do that. Just go and do it. Yes? God is good, family. And the reason why He's good is this is where you need to go. I don't know where your go is going, but go. It's a verb. It's an action word. And so what I love about this last song that we're going to sing, I love it because it's a reminder for me. And it says this, I will serve thee because I love thee. Not because I'm serving because of my own capacity. It's because of my love for thee, because He has given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces. That's what we are, broken pottery. Ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch, Jesus, your touch, through the work of the Holy Spirit, your touch, your presence is what I constantly long for each and every single minute of every day, because every day is you giving life to me. Small group is the extension of the life that God is doing with you. So what is your Acts 29 going to be?